There is no help, therefore, in denial of the obvious. To deny what is before you is not the secret. But to affirm the good, and then the bad vanishes. Do you get what I'm saying here? Which means you call the good into existence, all right, and then the bad one completely vanishes. Now, here's the point I'm getting to today. Men and women who have made great strides make it their business. In other words, anybody making great strides, they have made it their business. That's what Paul called, he that worketh miracles, he doeth it by the hearing of faith. Present, continuous throughout. Right? They have made it their business to hold, regardless of what's going on the outside. They hold, all right, the thoughts of the condition which they desire, all right, to materialize. That's what they are holding in their thought life. In other words, we saw it, that the Bible says that weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what's a stronghold? One of the definitions of a stronghold is something that your will can no longer remove. You can't use your willpower again. It has now been ingrained inside you beyond the ability of your will. So a person who started taking drugs, the thought was suggested, it was under the jurisdiction of their will, they chose to take drugs. But after some time and made it habitual, it got to the point that willpower no longer can take it away. It's a stronghold. Pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations. And then it says, bringing every thought, all right, every thought into captivity, bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Then he goes on and says, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. What does that mean? It's telling us that every thought, now if we can only do this, this is the secret to the real breakthrough in life. If you can only do this, right, that every conscious thought as regard that thing is consistent with the answer to your prayer. Every time you think about it, you bring the thought into obedience. In other words, you have your declaration, the confession that you're making, and you declare words that are consistent, and you bring every thought into obedience. And every time you think, you bring it into obedience. And every time you think, you bring it into obedience. In fact, you go to the point where, when you are distracted to things that are not really of eternal value, you bring those thoughts back into obedience to Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you can do this, listen, and then I'll show one more thing. You will be shocked at what will happen. Now, let me just say one more thing, because I might not get back here. Somebody said, and it has always bothered me at the back of my mind, because we say, as a man thinketh, so easy. And some people can meet you and say, well, I was thinking right. You know, I was thinking right. But you know, things still went wrong in a way that I never thought about that wrong. They asked one old wise man, he said, when a person is actually thinking right, saying the right things, and things go the opposite way, he said there is a relationship in the life of that person that swung it that way. You know, the Bible says evil communication corrupts. We can see how good manners come. Good manners come by you speaking good thoughts that will now form good manners in you. He says that thing will be corrupted by evil communication. Oh boy, if Jonah entered your boat, no matter how you are thinking. Do you understand what I'm saying here? When I say I don't employ troublemakers, it's a code word for something. Because I don't want wind inside the office. Are you following what I'm saying here? And when there's wind, there's nothing you can do. They did management, re-strategizing, accommodation. They were throwing the things out. They didn't want to throw Jonah out. They were throwing. And some of you have people in your life that the Holy Ghost has said is over enough now. But you are throwing the clothes out. It's the person that should go out. You've thrown everything around you. You've reorganized your life. You've accommodated the person. You have changed everything. Changed the way you drive. Changed the way you come back. God says, listen, that dude up. I'm waiting for him. I will receive him. Are you following me? Someone came to beg me about somebody. I said, oh boy, Since this person, you know, they said Jacob, since Jacob's coming, we have seen. I said, since you brought this person into my life, have you seen? I said, oh, but I don't do things like this. It has nothing to do with unforgiveness. I pray for the person, but there is negative wind. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
All right? That's why one, and I like the man, one wealthy Jebu man. Eh? He has transport business. After 3 years of working with him, he will ask you, have you bought a car or you've bought anything? You say no. I will say to Yoruba, which means that there's something wrong with you. You mean since you've been working and you've not made personal progress, leave my business. That there's an aura around you that is not right. That you should be making progress. With all this business we are doing here, you haven't bought your own car. You haven't done anything. Then he says there's an aura. That's how he purges wrong people. I'm telling you, somebody comes every day, it's trouble. Oh, this happened. This happened. Listen to me. If you had somebody who comes and says that, you know, I moved into this apartment. My name is Kinamo. And when I got there, after 2 weeks, the place burnt up. And then I had to move again. I went to this other apartment. And when I got there, fire came again and burned up. Then I moved to this apartment. What? Then the person says, so I'm coming to your house. What did you say? You are superstitious. Why can't you do that? You are superstitious. You are superstitious. Why? You say, you are superstitious. No. Christianity is not like that. Right. Bible says, welcome to strangers. Why you don't let the person come? All right, so let me ask you a question. Will you allow the person? I've caught you. So if somebody is coming into your life, who had that in their history, but you didn't know, and you opened the door, will it happen to you? So you see, it is important you inquire before you open your door. That's where I want to get to. Because if you didn't know, you have agreed now that it will happen. So do your inquiry. Jesus told them, the disciples, inquire before you enter a house. So there is no help in denial. I found that which is good, all right, and then the bad, all right, disappears. Now, on the close, I want to say something. So what happens is, as we begin to confess all this last week, an image starts getting formed. Important thing about our fellowship with God is that our words, we saw this with the woman with the issue of blood, saying, all right, God's word continuously, beholding what God has said concerning you, right? Everybody in this church, we should say that, all right? And that's what happens. It says, when your obedience is complete, there's a readiness to avenge all disobedience. You know what this is talking about? If you are learning how to drive, all right? You know, you hold the steering with both hands. Nobody must distract you. All of your attention is on that car. If your phone rings, no law has to tell you don't pick up the phone. You are not picking up the phone. All right? You even look at it because you are looking here. Okay? All right? Nothing. All right? You mustn't be distracted. But after some time of doing it, mastery comes. When mastery comes, you put your elbow, you pick the phone, you are listening to the radio, telling the person, you know, they were just saying this on radio, Then you pick popcorn again and you're eating. Four things at the same time. All right? You know what happens? You can get to a point when you confess something, it can no longer be reversed. That's what I'm saying. It enters into you like something you have won permanently. All right? Like the way you learn how to drive, it enters into your system. You can now move to the next thing. Do you get what I'm saying here? At that point, what you are declaring has entered. It has been planted as a seed. Now, because of time, I'll teach more on this, but there's a practice we need to get into that we need to know, because you have to have your quiet times. When I say quiet times, private times where you meditate and you concentrate, all right, on the things God is showing you. And then throughout the day, You give yourself wholly to what you've been meditating on. In other words, when the thought comes, you confess it. But it comes to a point where there's a readiness now in you to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. Once it has entered your system, listen, if anybody says anything contrary, if anything, you don't even think about it. It just comes out. Like learning a language. You are struggling to speak the French, After some time, one day you wake up and the French language has found you. It's flowing now. You say, how did you understand it? You just understood it. Confession comes to a point where it enters into you if you practice this and can no longer come out of your being. Nothing can change. That's what's going to happen in your life. However, let me just say two things will happen. When things get on the inside of you, the Bible says the air comes out. All right, first the air, it says trials, also the sun will come out. So you are going to be exposed to adversity, difficult circumstances, right? But the first one is that relationships will emerge. That's the air. Your associations, people start coming into your space. And let me tell you what will happen. Somebody will start suggesting something to you that is what you ought to do, but you will find it repulsive. In other words, you start a business, somebody just in conversation just says, in the conversation, you know this business, if you do this, I saw something, but as far as you're concerned, based on your culture, based on the way you have done things, this is not what I should do. But that's the key. It's very simple. Right? So, and I've looked at it in my life, I've listened to people's testimonies, that's what it is. Right? When you say it, when they tell you, you find it repulsive because if you knew what to do, you would have done it. But there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. In other words, what will bring about fulfillment seemeth wrong to him. It seems wrong. Someone says, well, you know, and we're having fights in marriage. What you really need to do to quell it seems wrong to you. No, that's not the way we were raised. Inside my house, you know, my mother and all of that. But that is not working. Your husband is not your father. Your wife is not your mother. They're not born on the same place. They didn't grow in the house. They are different. What you need to do, maybe somebody just comes and says, this is what I just did. I said, no. All right? You find it. I saw Bishop Kid Butler. And let me tell you this issue here. As you start confessing, keep your mind open, therefore, and be prayerful. Understand that God, whatever the instruction is, whatever it is, I will adjust to it. The Bible says they could not enter in because of unbelief. That unbelief there is because they were obstinate, unpersuadableness, which means no matter the persuasion, they were not going to change the course of their action. The way they were doing things is the way they are doing things. So somebody starts a business, the way we do the business is the way we do the business. Are you following what I'm saying? We don't change anything. Somebody comes to persuade you that why don't you change this? All right? Why don't you, if someone even says, why don't you get an accountant? No. All accountants, they're thieves. No. I'm leaving my God. You see, why? All right? They come in and talk about why don't you structure, all right? And you find it repulsive. Well, I've been pushing for something in this church. Somebody told me something. He came to meet me in my office. He said the first thing. He said the second thing. When he got to the third one, I said, that's what I'm looking for. I said, it's not the culture of this church, but that's the future. I told him, I said, Oga, what you said is the future. And he told me the church he was coming from. And God has taught, and he's a leader in this church, God has taught me that when you want to move to the next level, he will send people that have the experience. In other words, if you are in business, he will send somebody who has worked at an organization that has operated that way, and they will come into your space and tell you that why don't you change it into it, which you will find hostile because you are used to the way, all right, you are doing things. So when he told me where he was coming from, and he made a suggestion, I said, you are correct. I told him, I said, this thing you are saying, you are right. So God will bring it, and it will appear wrong. I mean, the man I went to meet, Bishop Keith Butler, told him, he said, listen, sir. He said, look, there's a church. Why don't you come and buy? The agent kept telling him. And, you know, I've come to realize that anything anybody says around me, says strongly, I don't forget. Because one day you can be praying and God says that is what that thing is. So if anybody says something, all right, some of you are here, you do business, all that, you know, somebody comes and says, maybe you're in your apartment. When will you start buy your house, build your house? You say, I can't. You just want to embarrass me. How much money do I have? You say, I should go and build a house. Look at this guy talking like that. But the truth is, let me tell you this, the truth is, you can build a house. Right? Because what you are thinking is, you look out in Sule area and say, the house in Sule, how much? I can't buy. But there are places where your salary might buy land. Are you following what I'm saying? Ah, you say, it doesn't have value. How can I go to those places? Wait. So suggestions will come. Keep an open mind. Pray about it. Don't be set in your ways. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? This is how I am. That's not how you are. That's what they told you when you were young. That's not how you are. So I'm telling you, look, you don't know me. You don't know yourself. Listen. Don't be set in your ways. Just keep praying. God, what you say, I'm ready. And when you start hearing, because you will hear the call, as Jesus Christ came, he said, I will knock on the door. Somebody will come and knock with a suggestion. Are you following what I'm saying? Minister, Dr. Okay, all right, and then Lama. Yesterday he was talking, and some of you did not come. Many of you did not come. Listen, don't miss those kind of things. What that man transferred can take 30 years by yourself to get to it. All right? He spoke, in fact, the person, he spoke, all right? I know he's a solid Christian, so he spoke. And he talked about the fact that everything that happened in his life happened because it was in context. That the way he got into what he was doing, investment, was because South Africa, apartheid had just, well, in 1995, they were looking for blacks. It was gone. Those opportunities are no longer there. Are you following what I'm saying? So in the context of that time, somebody knocks and makes a suggestion, right? Instead of just rejecting it, go and pray that God, this thing this person said, let me ask you, spend time in prayer. And the Holy Ghost will either bear witness with it that is correct, or he will withdraw it and say, it's not, don't go with that. Maybe not now, but do that. And then next we'll look at the next one is adversity. All right? But it will come into your life as you confess, and people will say things, will suggest things. All right? And then as you begin to respond, I believe so much in feedback. I believe that the environment shows you the way to get there. I believe that, you know, if you, to grow your business, if you start interacting with clients, the words of the clients tell you how to multiply that business, if you listen well to them. That their complaints tells you the adjustments to make. That I believe in it. I believe that once you put, all right, your words out there, they create a reaction and something comes back to you. The problem is that when it comes, because it doesn't come as the manifestation of that thing, it comes as that thing like a jigsaw puzzle. All God is saying is rearrange the thing and you see it's your vision. That thing you are calling adversity is your manifestation rearranged differently. A young boy went into his father's office. He was preparing his sermon. The father said, please, could you leave? They are disturbing me. He said, no, daddy, I want to play with you. He said, okay, let me show you how we play. He tore something. He looked at it. He tore it open. He said, go and put it together. He tore it well into shreds. Put it together. I said, you take this guy 3 hours to do it. 5 minutes, the boy was back. I'm back. Look at it. Father said, how in the world did you do it? He said, if you turn it to the back, it's the map of the world. So I just turned it to the back, fitted the map of the world together, then turned it back, and your mystery was solved. I'm telling you, the adversity, at the back of the adversity, is the results that you are looking for. Flip the adversity, and you'll see the thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your Spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness.
Thank you for listening.